Okay, we are now recording.
Hello. We're back again at our study class. It's 27th of March 2022. We are at the Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 13, verse 13. So a little recap. Jesus talks about how Alma has been like an example for these latter days, that he goes away from the bad and establishes a holy place, and learns, lets people to learn to invoke the Lord with a broken heart and contrite feeling. And so let's take it from 13. I will read the first. And behold, God did not give you a spirit of bondage, but of adoption, that you may be of good courage to rise to a spiritual condition that is above the feelings which enslave man in his captive state proposed by Satan, and walk in the certainty that you are a child of God, who has been placed in your hearts through the feeling of filiation given by the laying on of hands, the gift of the Holy Spirit, in which you can call in your heart the Father of our spirits in a way that he actually listens and answers your prayer, extending his powerful hand to help you. Wow. So maybe the scripture which is here, maybe also. So that's Roman 8, because it really helps these scriptures. Roman 8, verse 12 to 15. So, maybe, Balky, will you read it?
12 to
To 15, yeah.
50. Okay. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not in the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Thank you. And maybe the other one, Galatians 2, Galatians 4, verse 6 to 9.
And because ye are sons, God had sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, ye did service unto them, which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereupon ye desire again to be in bondage? Why?
Yeah, if you have tasted of the fruit, how can you take,
It takes time to change. It takes time to change gewoontes.
Habits. Any comments?
I love this verse. I just was so excited when I read it. Again, you know, I went back to John's article on multiple mortalities, and he has that picture there that shows how the how you have the psyche and the intelligence of God, and how that goes to becoming the spirit. And that's the spirit that we're born with. That spirit combines with the body, and then you're born, and that combination creates the soul. And so the Spirit of God is always with us. And he did not send us down here to fail. He sent us down here to rise up above what Satan wants to do with us. So not to be in a captive state proposed by Satan, to recognize that God is there, and that the adoption of bringing our souls and our spirits back to Heavenly Father is what God is asking us to do. And he's telling us to be of good courage, that we can rise up to a different type of condition, a spiritual condition, that we that we're closer to God. All of us, I think, are feeling that as we learn and open our eyes and walk in this great faith that is the certainty that we belong to God. We're his children. And we're right there with him. He's right there with us. And then he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, so much so that we could draw on that. And each one of us has a different purpose. Each one of us are strong in certain things. And sometimes I just imagine ourselves just standing there together, all of us holding our hands as a little wall of protection against Satan, that we are going to provide for those who haven't had a chance to learn and open their minds and come so close to Heavenly Father, that we're going to be part of that middle group, I guess, that we can call on the Father of all the spirits, and he listens to us and he answers us. Right now, I do a lot of looking at other websites on, or listening to people who are talking on the internet, and they all sound wonderful, and there's a lot of thought about ascension and what level you're on, and where we are with ourselves. Different dimension that we have to attain, aspire to or grow to, and all these actions that we can do to get there. And yet, why have we been given this book? Do we need all those other things? They give us insight, but I really think the book was given to us, that all the information that we need is right here in the book, that we just open our hearts. And the closer we get to Heavenly Father, the different level of ascension that we will be at. And then we will enjoy the benefits of the Spirit of Heavenly Father in the actions that we can do. And Isaiah talks so much about this in 32 and 33, which I just read last night, so it's still on my heart, that there's a lot that the priesthood is going to do, that men have a purpose in what they're doing, and women's purpose is different, that that we each, within that, as a woman or as a man, we each have a talent that we need to use. And so I was just really excited about all of this, right there in verse 13, telling us we have everything right here in this book. We just need to open our hearts and think how much we've grown. So that's another reason that we are going to be kind of in that middle lane there, helping those who haven't had the chance to grow but want to be with our Lord. And yeah, they're going to go back and forth. We are going to fall back into what man has, because that's what we're used to. And I hope that collectively and individually, our prayers will bring us back to being with Heavenly Father on this earth as we start this journey. The one thing that I love about all of this is it gives hope. And Isaiah says that the cities of refuge may not be one giant city, but it will be scattered throughout the world, depending on where the elect people are. And I'm taking that to mean where the people who are so close to God can stand and be a protection for these people. Anyway, the rest of these verses are so exciting too. So we'll go. That's my comment.
I think it's interesting what you say, Jeannie, with the certainty, and that it all comes together in this book. Not that the other book wouldn't, but that we have the certainty that this is at the core, you know, that we need to be able to test the other stuff by. And the peace that comes to the that you may know this for certain through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all this order in the house of God, that we really may know that the Father of spirits and that he actually, that word that is there, you know, that he actually listens, you know. It's interesting. Any other comments?
I find the feeling. Yeah, that was.
Oh. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Balky. Go ahead, Balky. I'll come after you.
Okay. I have two things. The feelings of affiliation, that's what I find interesting. Now I learn more about the tribes of Israel and getting to learn more about Issachar and how it relates to people here in the Netherlands, Friesland and Zebulon for Holland. So now when I read the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, and they talk about the Israelites, I really feel, like it's my family or something. Also, you read the scriptures with different eyes again, with new eyes. So, and that gives a feeling that you are a child of God, that I'm part of that family. So that is, very interesting. But then it says, given by the laying on of hands. Now, I've been baptized in the LDS church, which is the Aaronic priesthood, but the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost is, I think, done by someone who has the Melchizedek priesthood. So then I was wondering, hey, did I already receive the Holy Ghost, or is it just partly because you have the gift of the Holy Ghost and the... Well, there are two things that you can get from the Holy Ghost, I think. I don't remember now, but the gift and something else. But then I was wondering, hey, do I have the Holy Ghost given to me? And then I thought, no, probably not.
There was that was actually one of the biggest concerns that I had that you just mentioned. I had that concern last year when I was coming into all of this knowledge and understanding the proper doctrine. And, you know, I was brought to this verse in the Bible concerning whether you have the Holy Ghost or not. So in Doctrines and Covenants, it's stated like a few times in there that all men are given the light of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, to be able to have a conscience. The Spirit of Christ is where our consciousness sits. So we'll know right from wrong. So we'll know how to do right. I think it's also mentioned in the book of Moroni as well. However, in the Bible, there's a step above that. So when the disciples were with Jesus and Jesus had asked his disciples, they said, this is in the book of John, somewhere in the book of John. I got this written down, but I can't quote it. It's in the book of John, I believe. And Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? I'm pretty sure some of you guys remember this part. And then the disciples started responding, oh, well, you must be Elijah, you know, you must be this guy, you know, Teletubbies, you know. And then Peter says, hey, you're Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And then it said that Jesus looked at him and said, you would have not known that unless the Holy Ghost revealed it to you. Now, this is the kicker. The disciples didn't receive that impartation, to our knowledge, until the day of Pentecost, which was after Jesus Christ ascended, which means that there is a difference between the Holy Ghost being with you and the Holy Ghost being inside of you. It also says in the book of John, when Jesus was telling his disciples, yes, the Holy Ghost is with you and will soon be inside of you. That was before he died. That was before the day of Pentecost. So there is, listen, from before the foundations of the world, God knew who would serve him, who would choose him, and he had his chosen ones. We agreed to come down and partake of his heavenly nature, you know, according to our agency. And we get chosen like that, but he knows our end from the beginning. So that Holy Ghost can stay with us to help us, persuade us to understand or come into the full knowledge of the doctrine of Christ, which is how we all got here. We can't understand this book without the proper guidance of the Holy Ghost. Even the gospel of Jesus Christ itself, dying on a cross, that's basic. It takes the power of the light of Christ and the Holy Ghost to be able to reveal that to you. So I'm going on a little tangent, but I really want to explain this because this was a concern that I had. In the book of Acts, remember the story of Cornelius? Everybody? Cornelius? So Cornelius was, I believe, a Gentile centurion soldier. And this was after the apostles received the Holy Ghost and laid out the order of Enoch amongst the church in their times. So Cornelius was a man who was considered righteous in a certain set of words amongst his people, because he would look after the poor. He would be justifiable in his actions, and he would pray to God for his personal deliverances. You know, he knew how to pray to God. And the way it works is, like you mentioned earlier, wherever the men of God are who have received the priesthood of Melchizedek are, that's where the kingdom of God is, because they can give you the impartation of the gift of the Holy Ghost. So I believe the angel came to Cornelius and told Cornelius, you have to go to Peter to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost to dwell inside of you, because Peter was the one who had it. He had the keys and he had the power to distribute it. So the Holy Ghost was leading him up until that point to receive that gift. But if he didn't receive that gift, then he would never had the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. So,
okay. So, thank you. Were you able to make your point, JT? I don't want to interrupt you.
That's okay. We can go ahead.
Okay.
Well, so, can I wanted to, sorry, I wanted to, because this is something that I'm wanting to clarify for myself, because Steve, do you have any insight on that? Like, through the LDS, have we been given the gift of the Holy Ghost?
No.
Or go ahead.
Well, you've been had the hands laid on your head and said, receive the Holy Ghost, but right. that's only a beginning. That is not a result. That is not an end point. That's now you go on and receive the Holy Ghost. It didn't happen. It might happen sometimes. There are some people. I had a patriarch when on my mission, and when he was a young man and he confirmed his cousins, one of them, it felt like water running off his hands when he confirmed him. Another one, it didn't have anything. But so there is something that can happen at a confirmation, but in general, it doesn't happen then. You've got to then go on and receive that.
Well, I understand. Obviously, it's based upon your worthiness and your righteousness and you seeking.
Well, I know, but the LDS Church implies that, oh, well, you've got to give the Holy Ghost now because you've had the hands laid on your head, but it's not there yet.
Okay, but that still doesn't, I understand what you're saying, but I'm just trying to follow the lineage of whether we got it from the Melchizedek. Because like what Balkia was saying, your same question, right, Balkia?
Yes, exactly, because it states here very clearly mm-hmm. that by the laying of hands is the gift of the Holy Spirit in which you can call me. Oh, yeah, placed on your head.
Well.
Oh, in your heart through the feeling of filiation given by the laying on of hands.
I think the person who is supposed to, if you're open to it, it's a personal thing and it's an adoption mm-hmm. thing. So you have to learn.
Yeah, so JT, is that your understanding too, JT?
So based off of not just the sealed Book of Mormon, but Doctrines mm-hmm. and Covenants, the Book of Mormon, mm-hmm. and throughout the scriptures, mm-hmm. the receiving of the gift of the Holy Ghost has to be done, and it has to be proven by somebody who has been given either the actual priesthood, starting with Joseph Smith and our dispensation, and okay. passed down. It has to be mm-hmm. through the Melchizedek order. And it has to be proven.
Okay.
That's right. And that's also, I remember what Brother Keckler said the other day, the three, you have these pillars to make it work, you know, the priesthood. Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting here in this verse is the difference in bondage and adoption. That if you look at the 200 years of the LDS, that it brought us something. We were very happy with it. But also, you have to open up that this person who is laying on the hands for you, and if you're doing all the baptism and everything with the right reasons, then it can help, you know, in preparation to invite the Spirit and work with the Spirit and feel the promptings of the Spirit, even if you might not have it always with you. But if you live the gospel, then you can walk into certainty. You know, that's the whole thing, I think, about trust right. and magnifying your calling, that you get to know what is adoption, you know, what is coming together in the material and the spiritual. So you have to sanctify your body, mm-hmm. you have to sanctify your insight, you have to be worthy to being able to believe yourself that you have this, that he really is the father of your spirit. I think that is so essential, that through our faith in Christ as our advocate, we really can believe that he would answer us, you know, that he actually listens and answers. But we need Russell.
Yeah, I want to read from 3 Nephi 9, verse 20. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. This is the time when they came into the jail where Alma was, and they were overcome by the fire and baptized. And yet they didn't have any laying on of hands. I mean, this baptism of fire this can happen without any laying on of hands, is all I'm really trying to say. But yes. The main thing is to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's what the foundation
of principle amen. Is. Amen. Amen. Yeah, and so, I think that that's so much, you know, because you, obviously, all of us in our lifetimes, we've come across other people that don't have any of this knowledge that we have. They've never even heard of the Book of Mormon. They've never heard of Nephi. You know, they don't know who Joseph Smith is. But they're incredibly, incredibly spiritual people. And they have a connection to God. And it's because they have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And exactly. Because they're seeking and they're, you know, and so this is, you know, it just, again, these basic lessons that we're learning over and over. And so blessed we are, you know, to have the sealed book. And JT, I just have to say that I was laughing out loud when you were talking about Teletubbies.
Yeah. You gotta throw a little, you know, comic relief every now and then, you know. There was something real quick I wanted to add based off of what Russell said from that story. And I believe the context of that verse, they were in the prisons and the two guys, I'm not really good with their names right now, but they were authorized, you know, priesthood holders to be able to, you know, ordain and do those type of things. And it said, I believe, if I'm correct, that they prayed in their hearts. And based off of that situation that they were in, they prayed in their hearts that the prisoners would receive these gifts or something along those lines. And because they were authorized of God, and a broken heart and a contrite spirit is the number one way. It doesn't matter if you know this stuff or not. But in that context, they had some information right there with them, but because it couldn't be done in the same fashion based off of them being bound up, God in his mercy still looks down upon us and he can still bless us. But if we have the knowledge of what it is that we must do it. And if we can't do it, then he does have mercy in our next lifetime so we can receive and be partakers of the church of the firstborn. So that's all.
Thank you. Yeah, goes back to the heart. It always goes back to the prayer in the heart. And I had a wonderful mission companion, and that was like her motto all the time. She was just always reminding me, like, let's just have a prayer in our heart. We're just going to keep a prayer in our heart, no matter what was going to happen in the day, because we were not received well, you know, in Norway. But yeah, thank you, all of you. Those are just great, great. And thank you for the scriptures too. I've written all those down. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to emphasize one last thing. In the scriptures, which we read, Galatians 4, verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So that is also really interesting with the, he really sees us as family. He doesn't want us to be slaves. He wants us to know for ourselves and really through the feelings of affiliation, become more one with the Father. So let's go to the next verse. Let's see. Jeannie, would you read verse 14?
Okay. For verily, verily, I say unto you these last words concerning the book of Moses as regards my people. When this record is revealed unto them, that the feelings derived from a broken heart before my Father are the greatest power that is in the world. For only a sincere heart moved by a contrite feeling is able to move the hand of him who rules the whole universe.
Thank you. So that's powerful. The whole universe. And so I think this is so interesting that you have to have the right attitude every action, every thought, every thing you measure that's why it's all about the feelings. If you have the sincere feeling, I think that we should do the next verse also, because it kind of goes together. Would you do that also, Jeannie? 15?
Okay. Yea, verily I say unto you, that it is in the pure and lofty sentiments proceeding from the gifts of God that all wisdom from the heaven is hidden, because they contain within themselves the possibility of sensitizing the feelings of the one who is all seeing. It contains within themselves the possibility of sensitizing the feelings of the one who is all seeing, and through sincerity and truthfulness of urgency, moves heaven and earth to the aid of that Son who truly knows how to speak with the Father.
Thank you. Yeah. These two verses is so much here. I could. Yeah. So
two verses maybe the kind of verses that need to be up on the mirror in the bathroom. Meant for daily reference. That's a lot of power.
Yeah. So this is, you know, this is like almost like prayer. You know, for me, it was always the Alma 37, verse 37 was like the key, how to know the Book of Mormon is true. But here, it is how to pray. And really, you know, for me, with the whole timing thing and second invitation, why the second time and all this timing of the books, it for me really speaks out in this thing is the truthfulness of urgency, sincerity, because I'm attacking people now that are in, you know, that it's not a fight physically, but it's a fight for your head, for your attention, you know, for the Olympics or a bad movie. The truth, sincerity and truthfulness of urgency. Why this is important, you know, you have to understand and to be busy with it to know. And then you will be able to synthesize the feelings of the one who is all seeing. Because he cannot do otherwise. We have to have the same feelings of empathy, like what the great stuff about Moses coming before the Israelites, defending them. You know that they're so stupid, but all the eyes are on us. You know, all seeing, all knowing.
Well, and it to me, it's just like, it's so, so profound and so powerful. I mean, imagine if every person in the world understood this, like that would be the perfect utopia of the Zion, right? If we all understood this concept, you know, that wisdom from the heavens is hidden because they contain within themselves the possibility. This is the thing. People don't even understand or fathom the possibility that they are daughters and sons of God. Like they, you know, and to also know that you can be one with the one who created the world. And I mean, it's very exciting. It's a little overwhelming, but this is a little sliver of knowledge. This book right here is just a little sliver. Like, you know, there's so much more. So, yeah, anyway, it's just amazing. And when you turn the page, the sincerity, the truthfulness, the urgency can moves heaven and earth, you know.
Because it's emotion, you know, it suggests emotion. It's not, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. lukewarm. You know, mm-hmm. what Jesus did in the temple. It's not lukewarm, but you have to be like urgent mm-hmm. and peaceful at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. also why it says in the scripture that it's not shouting on the street, you know. Maybe also him knowing that we would have internet and could speak with a
mm-hmm.
lower, easier voice. But, you know.
And it just makes me think of, you know, I'm going back to The Chosen again. I know I keep talking about that. It's so phenomenal. I rewatched, and I watched it with my sister-in-law. I had her watch it because obviously she's not loving herself. She's trying to take her life. I mean, you know, so I was trying to say, look who Christ went to. He revealed himself to the woman at the well, the one that everybody judged, the woman who people considered was a low life. And she had been married 5 times and they consider, you know, and this is the thing, the Lord works in ways that are not the ways of man. You know, you would think that Christ would go to, you know, some profound, well looked upon, you know, wealthy woman, you know, whatever in society. And who did he go to? And what was her reaction? She had great enthusiasm and she ran away and she didn't even take her water. And she's like, I'm going to tell everyone it's the Messiah. He's, you know, and that's the whole thing is like, just what you said, having that enthusiasm, but also having wisdom in who and how we share it at the right time.
That's the whole key of the diligence, you know. What he says in, I believe it was in the Exodus, Nephi's the first chapter, that he rewards effort, you know, what John Paul Brad said also, figure it out, that you really want to know, you know, to be one with him, to appreciate his work, you gotta mm-hmm. want to understand. And if you only go to, you know, I can understand some people go to church for, or do not leave the church to give their kids some kind of a pattern, you know, to give them something.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a lot of social connection. There's like social aspects of it.
But if it's really yours, you know, that's the son connection for me also with the, mm-hmm. being a farmer's son, mm-hmm. you know, that you're not a renter guy, you know, a hired help, that mm-hmm. you really feel it's yours. It really is our earth. You know, mm-hmm. what all these young people feel like, we got to save the earth, but we don't need God. I believe it's sincere for these kids, but they mm-hmm. don't have a clue, you know. Mm-hmm. But they
Russell has something to say.
Okay, please.
But he's doing fine. But anyway, I was just going to mention that, you know, talking about, you know, when we should intercede or when we should say something or what we should do. The overall goal is really to be in tune so that we listen every single thing we do, whether it's going outside and shoveling snow. Those so mundane, we can be guided by the Spirit in everything if we allow ourselves to open to that way. And so whether we talk to that person or we call up someone who needs to be, so, you know, comforted, or just plain say I love you to your wife or whatever, those things can, we need to be so in tune with the Spirit that we follow him in everything. I'm knowing of a man who died last year, Doug Mendenhall, and he told about an experience where he was following the Spirit. He was inside of a hospital and he was directed to go down, stand in the one place, then he still did, then stand with his nose to the wall for a certain period of time. And because he was just following what he was directed to do. And he was able to get into places he couldn't have got into otherwise, but it was just follow what he was told to do every moment. Eventually we have to get to that point.
That's it. That's the whole thing, that we would be in peace with that, to follow that voice, you know, like what John Paul Pratt said about Joseph Smith III. I'm thinking now that it was the same voice of his father that his father heard, you know, that you're familiar with that, and that you talk with him and with the right feelings, the right thoughts of in awe of his omnipotence, but also as a loving father, that wanting to extend his arm to wanting to his powerful hand to help us. So thank you. That's very profound.
Have been following some near-death experiences. I'm on a group that they keep coming back with the feeling that, you know, it's so much further beyond anything we imagine in what we are and what we can become. It's just amazing.
It's and I love what you say about the small things, saying I love you to your wife. And it's like, that's what I love about being being in tune like David's harp, as it says in some of those songs, that is really fine tuning stuff with the knowledge we have in our time, the amount of frequencies and messages we can receive, also to safeguard our home and our own temple from the bad stuff getting in our heads, to be able to find to feel him and be in line with this Holy Spirit, this Father of our spirits. And it says Father of our spirits, that we, I think, to really get to appreciate the idea. Lots of people think it's a scary idea, the eye of the dollar bill, you know, the all-seeing eye. But we have to get used to an all-loving Father and the whole family on the other side, who is there for us, if we only listen to the promptings of the small voice.
Can I add a comment?
Yes.
Thank you. It is the pure and lofty sentiments proceeding from the gifts of God. Well, the pure and lofty sentiments, they're mentioned in Seal Book of Moses, chapter 3, verse 17. It's the feelings of charity, enthusiasm, peace of spirit, resignation to withstand adversities, benignity, compassion, faith, tenderness, and self-control. So these are the pure and lofty sentiments that all wisdom from the heavens is hidden, because they, the pure and lofty sentiments, contain within themselves the possibility of sensitizing the feelings of God.
Interesting.
So the more of these pure and lofty sentiments we have, the more God is willing to work with us, as I read this here. The possibility of sensitizing. And then I was wondering, what's a different word for sensitizing? Could it also be softening? English-speaking people?
Yeah, you mean with the mallet, the hard tip of the mallet that shatters the traditions.
Well, it's pleasing, sensitizing the feelings of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that he is able to more work with us.
Well, it's like softening of the heart again, right?
Of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Stimulating.
Yes.
Yeah. But how he wants us to be.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Valkia. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
So the two verses, you know, we talk about the feelings, the contrite, the broken heart, which is opening our heart to love as much as we can our Father in heaven, and being humble before him. And that talks about being able to move the hand of him who rules the universe. And then at the end of 15, it says that the all-seeing, the one who is all-seeing, which is God, through the sincerity and truthfulness of urgency. So the sincerity is how we are acting, how we are praying, how we are moving closer to him, and the urgency that we're in the end times. And so the Son is, at the end of all of our prayers, we say, we ask this through your son, Jesus Christ. So we go to the son who is the mediator. We ask for things and he goes to God in heaven. And what will it take to get our Father in heaven to know how sincere we are at asking for his help to get the wicked out of the world, asking for his help for bringing Zion together? And to me, it's like all the babble that everybody prays before we got this book, without having a sincere heart and that love and that desire to know more, all those people that are out there, they're praying, but is it just noise to God until we come together with the openness of our hearts and learning these gifts and keeping ourselves in alignment? And now he's ready to listen. Maybe that's how some of that is being, that we're asking for the feelings of God to be more, hear us more. Like there are people who are in dire straits out there just crying to the Lord, but they might not be doing it right. And we're trying to alert God through our actions.
That's interesting what you say, Jeannie, because it says two times in the Bible with the crying Abba Father. So it really has to do with how we invoke the Almighty with what attitude, and we're in much more ways as we might think ourselves, maybe childlike, only coming closer, you know, to how he really did. Did you really have the faith as the brother of Jared?
Yeah.
I have no idea. But like what Bauke also says, if we really try to understand him and what Jesus earlier said, also remember the precedence among you and really learn to see this time as seen before, that we really might be able to believe the urgency of this message and the joy it presents to the whole world, that we really people can feel our light and our example always. Actually speak louder than words. So,
So verse 13, rise to a spiritual condition, a new spiritual condition where we're ready to do these things. And it makes me excited. And then reading verse 16, I read ahead, sorry.
I was thinking maybe... Yeah, sorry, Jeannie. I was thinking maybe it's now 20 past 7 for us. Also, because the next verses is more about the material side, and very interesting with the barns and the reaping and sowing. But what do you think? Maybe close it up here with verse 15. What do you think?
That sounds fine. Do you want to continue with next week, Harm? Do you want to leave next week and finish?
Yeah, it's okay. Finish this chapter. Okay.
Maybe. Finish.
Maybe finish four. We did three verses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Can I add one thing before we sign off here?
Please.
I've got this feeling that we're about to move on and that we still don't understand this to the degree that we need to know. And I've been sitting here looking at this and it comes and it appears to me that we need to know each for our own self what a broken heart and a contrite spirit is and what brought us to that. And can we understand that? We can identify it and recreate that, put ourselves in those positions to be able to actually walk upon the way. And I don't think, you know, he keeps saying a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Well, what brought us to that? Was it deep repentance because abrupt truth? Was it events in our life that were catastrophic? Was it a love that was lost? What is our, where is our primer that, that puts us in that position?
I think we need pain to learn. So the God loves the he chastises the one he loves, and for me that really has to do with all the scope of life, and it's personal. So I cry easily lately because it's so overwhelming. So, but for me that's a sign that I break my heart, and that I read stuff you sent me that really breaks my spirit, you know, and I need it. And so let's try this week to allow these feelings, everybody for himself, think about this, pray about it. Maybe you could
Thanks for that, Steve. I think that's really the point of all of this. And you know, and that the primer is very complex for each of us. You know, I can't say in my own life that it was one specific thing, you know, and I still have a prideful heart. But yeah, I mean, this is the whole purpose really of our existence is to become that contrite, broken spirit. So we're open to anything that God gives us, any trial, any challenge, any mind blowing, like concept for us to understand. Right.
So yes, exactly. Maybe the contrite feeling or contrite spirit or broken heart is an ongoing process. Maybe we are now practicing for what is to come because there will be urgency, you know, in the upcoming days more than we how strong is your faith then when it's all falling mm-hmm. apart around you?
We're building a Urim and Thummim, mm-hmm. each and every one for ourselves.
Back to Steve's point is we each individually have to come to this point.
Yes.
Like I can't, there may be a time when we can't Zoom, you know, that's yeah. very likely. There may be a time that I can't rely on knowing that I'm going to be able to get wisdom from JT and Jeannie and Valkia and Steve, you know, like, you know, so just what he said, you know, Steve, thank you. Like we have to know this for ourselves individually, because when we come before Abba, when we come before the Father, we're going to be there alone, you know?
Okay. So,
let me just one more time from Galatians, because mm-hmm. I feel like there's something supposed to happen with this. And it says, and because you're sons, well, actually the verse I want to read is, but now after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? And that reminds me, well, one of the story of the grapes. But the bondage where they were wanting to go back and be in enslavement again, rather than put up with the trials and the tests. And there's such a type, kind of a shadow here, of the same things over and over, but in an independent way. If our foundation is built upon the stone, when these things hit us, which way do we turn? Stand firm. And we know what to do. How do we do that? And when we're isolated or alone, how can we connect with God in the here and now? Can we improve that? Do we understand that well enough? And I don't think I do. I think this is trying to tell me something that I haven't been able to wrap my head around. And it may be just an act on, or play on words that's got me, but I understand broken heart, contrite spirit. I understand acute getting it like Alma. I understand that. But how do we reactivate that in times of need when you can walk back to that place and get connected?
Exactly. How do we act
in time of need?
Yeah, and in these times. And it's interesting, the next three verses you observe days and months, times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you your labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. I'm sorry. It's just everybody personally has really think about this, I think, what you said, Steve, because this is so profound. If we don't take the time to let it in, what it means.
Can you guys recap that? Like, I have all these people calling me. It's my birthday today, so I have all these people calling, and like I'm trying to like so right when Steve was gonna say his profound piece of information, my call got dropped. So what was it that we were? Because you were reading from, you said in Galatians.
Well, yeah, what we read earlier, I was just reiterating at verse 9, because to me, it represents men in all times, just like we are now. Why do you want to turn back to bondage and slavery and, instead of leaning upon your faith? And it leads me back to the thing that it was using from where it was referred. And that is about how do we activate this best route to communicate with the Lord when we actually need to in times of desperate need or times for need for others, or and do I really understand whether, you know, I know what a broken heart and a contrite spirit means and how to get there and how that can be utilized to do a better job. So I just felt like we were moving on, and I still didn't feel like I have the nuts and bolts of that completely so that I can use that to try to speak with the Lord in times of need.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I think this was the class. We can stop the recorder now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Arm.
Yes, everybody. Great job. I'm going to.